St. John 11:5. And the reading of the woman, God will produce the result by the reading of the word. And to do that, I have spoken this somewhere before, maybe in the neighborhood, somewhere here, somewhere across the country. If I haven't, we'll try to approach it a different way for the sake of those. And now Brother Baxter is one of the preaching. I just come down tonight and relax into a little section and for tonight. The 11th chapter of St. John, and let's begin about the 18th or 19th, 18th verse, let's say, and read just a little portion here of the scripture. Now, Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou art here, my brother is not thine. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask God, God will do it to thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise. And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. Who that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? He said, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which is coming into the world. Now let's stop just for a moment and see the author of this book. Lord Jesus, Master of Life, giver of all good gifts of thy grace, we know that we are saved not because of our merits, but because of the grace of God that has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. At one time we were aliens, cut off from God, Gentiles, worshiping dumb idols. But in due season, Christ died as innocent or as guilty, taking us to the fire. And now we are sons and daughters of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be like, but we know we shall have a body like his, or we shall see him as he is. Lord, how we groan in these bodies, to be clothed upon with immortality, to be clothed upon with his spirit, that someday we know this, that in the Old Testament, the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. It only covers sin. And, living just waiting in paradise for the day the sin should be taken away. But when Jesus came, the Son of God, the Messiah, he took away sin. He divorced it, never covered it, he took it away. Then, now, since then, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have not waited any longer. We go straight to the presence of the Father. There is his clothes in mortality. Oh, if this earthly tabernacle, if it should be taken away this afternoon, born of sin, shaping the iniquity, come to the world, seeking like sinners by him, then God will be a Jesus, will feed our soul, and has a blessed body waiting for us that will never be sick. Even if it all gets patient, a body like his own glorious body, then we shall see him as he is. A body we're approaching your world. There's no man was able to open the book or to loose the seal thereof. But the Lamb which was slain from the foundation of the world, he was worthy, and came and took the book out of the right hand of him, and opened the book and loosed the seal. And now may the Holy Spirit come and get all these words that we just read. May it speak today and go right out over this audience here. And may the Holy Spirit give to the church just what we have in the house. Faith. Prepare a service for tonight, Father. Nation might be the greatest service, not because of us here, but because that thou art here. May it be the greatest service that this Philadelphia church has had since it's been established. table for tonight, sinners. There is a holy God of heaven who sends us back here in a big stadium and auditorium somewhere that will shake Chicago for a few moments. Amen. Prepare the hearts just now. Break up the ground, drill out all the green flowers and the stickers and the thorns and roots of bitterness, and bring down the Holy Spirit so this night that the need of God might be born in the building of the grace of Jesus. All we ask is in Jesus. Thank you, brother. As we approach to the Word now, just for a few moments, I'm going to take my watch off. I don't know where the clock is or something. And I try to stay no longer than I thought. So she'll have ample time to get ready. And my son, just a few moments ago, asked me to announce to the people that want prayer card for tonight to be here at 6 o'clock tonight. It's possible to receive prayer card. Those who are afflicted in need, and to be here at 6 o'clock tonight to receive the prayer card. Now, our scripture goes back to days just before the, this time in the ministry of our Lord. It has just become very famous because of God being with him. He was a man of not no beauty he should desire. He was much to look upon, probably a little frail looking fellow. And the Bible said that he was not beautiful. In the way he should be 6 footer like, or 7 footer like Saul, but he was a small man. The Bible said he did as well our faith from him, yet we did a smitten, misunderstanding, wicked of God. But the work that God was doing in him was outstanding, that the people knew that he came from God. Or even the great teacher said, the king of the we know that thou and the teacher come from God, because no man can do these things that you do, that God will. They know not that about. Now, the ministry of evangelists, now he's the pastor, he's a mind reader. He reads your mind. That's how you know what's wrong with these people. He reads your mind. He did. And Jesus was a mind reader. That's God, isn't it? But he was. He could read your thoughts, is that right? For what mind is it? See, not one of you sitting out here, one of these little women sitting out on the corner taking the palm of your hand. That's the substitute for devil's God, something imitated. That's the bogus dollar to the real dollar. See, everything God has done, the devil's made a substitute for, made something bogus. And that's usually the two spirits in the last days come right along these fallen fundamental, they miss the spirit all together. You see, like that, and some of these on the radical side will come off into isms with it. But right in the middle of the road runs the true church of God, and the men full of the power of God. That's what that is. Now, certainly, everything that God has, Satan has something to counter it. And he makes something off of it. And Jesus did receive the thoughts of therefore the great orthodox of those days that that guy is the best fortune teller in the country. He loves him up, the prince of the devil. Is that right? That's what the preachers said. And the great Bible teachers of that day said he is the Elzebub. Now let's see what the devil said. The devil said he's the son of God. We know who you are, the Holy One of God. Is that right? And in that state, the devil has more knowledge of God than the ministry is. Is that right? When Paul and Silas was up there and they were doing some great works for God, this little old fortune teller run out down the street every day and cry behind Paul and said, there's the man that tells the way of life. That's the man of God. And there was a preacher that said, they're imposters. They turn the world upside down. They're no good. And there was the ministry saying they're imposters, and the devil saying they're a man of God, which was right. The devil was right. Is that right? Sure he was. So you see, even them people, you can get so much on the word, you think, oh, the word, that's right. But the gospel came not of word only, but through power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And so the word is made life. See? When you fall out your hand, but you never get a cross out of it. You got the Spirit, you let it take on new life. Is that right? Now the word is life. This is God's way, of course, but just the word let us kill us, but the Spirit give us life. See what I mean? Now, and therefore, the enemy had to testify of God. In his ministry, here he went forth, and things began to happen, and then the churches all closed down on him. He said, now, if anybody goes over there to hear him, we'll just get your, and your papers in. You'll have to go out, and there's no more. But there's some people by the name of Martha and Mary and Lazarus, brothers and sisters, and they heard Jesus, and they did his miracles, so they didn't care whether he was, what the Orthodox said, what the church said, or nothing about it. They believed him, and they went with him, and they believed him, because they knew he was a man of God. So he came to stay in their house at Bethany. And now, while he was living there with them, his ministry got so great that one day he had to go away from the home. They crowded him out. Too much shooting people around the place. And the people had come to him in the thousands, and he'd slip off away from them, go off somewhere else. He'd be alone with the Father to pray. The cities would call for him, but he would go up in the mountain alone to see which way the Father was. He came to do the work of the Father. That's what we ought to be about today, our Father's business. Not so much in the social ranks and so forth, but in the Father's business. Now, let's take this wonderful Jesus just a minute and watch his coming just before he came. There was a, first before his coming, there was an announcement. The church had all got all back and all messed up just about like it is today. And one had this is Pharisees, Sadducees, publicans array, all kinds of isms around. And that's even some man come up and claim he was a great one and read 100 out in the wilderness and they perish, you know the story. And all like that. But if I come the time for he to come, he's the remnant is waiting for him. And one day, let's watch. I see an old man and a woman. Way past the age of marriage, the woman was, and she said, they had prayed for God all these years to take away her reproach, and she could bear children, as it was an honor for any Hebrew woman to have a child. How they changed that now? It's almost dishonor to have a child. Isn't that right? Might not say amen, but it's the truth. A woman had rather pay $100 for a little old-fashioned old dog than give her brother's love out here than to put with the baby. Now, you know that's the truth. Walking down the street with a little sweater on it, and I seen one of the biggest clinics I ever seen early out here, the dog clinic. I don't see it. I can see it. All right, anyhow, that's up to the human God. Now, look, then, Zechariah was a righteous man, a priest, and he comes to the house of God. His office was in there to burn incense while the people were praying. And then one day while he was burning incense, the time of the prophet was drawing nigh. And God sent an angel down to the altar. Do you believe in angels? Yes, sir. Someone said, I also said, Brother Branham, you're mistaken about that man that talked to you. So that was the Lord. I said, it was an angel. He said, I am sent from the presence of God. He wasn't the Lord. Oh, so that's all mistaken, says Brother Branham. God at old times in the Bible spoke that there was Daniel and all of that. Yeah, they were had angels and so forth like that, but not New Testament doctrine. And this man was the man that said, we speak where the Bible speaks, and silent where the Bible is silent. I thought how silent he was from anything at the Bible spoke. I said, do you mean to tell me that you don't believe that the angels of God meant the North Bird? The Holy Spirit leads the church. That's correct. But we have ministry and spirit sent in the presence of God. He said, not in the New Testament, sir. I said, oh, yes, in the New Testament. He said, the Holy Spirit, not in the Holy Spirit. I said, look, I want to ask you something. I said, it was the angel of God who met Mary. He said, yeah, but that's before Pentecost. After Pentecost, he said, it was the Holy Spirit from then on. I said, truly, the Holy Spirit leads the church. That's true. But look, I said, do you believe that Philip
the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Do you believe it? All of it? Sure he did. But when he was down in Samaria holding a revival, who was it that spoke to him and said, go out to the desert and chase us? Was it the Holy Spirit? No, sir. An angel of the Lord spoke to him. Is that right? Go out to the desert, chase us. And see, little common things that, Peter had the Holy Spirit. Let's see, you see, he had that in the Holy Spirit? When he was in prison that night, he got a job marked out and had a friend in his heart. Who was about to light and shine in the window and open the door to him? Was it the Holy Spirit? The angel of the Lord. How many people have the Holy Ghost? Well, when he was out there on the ship 14 days and nights, no moon, stars, all hope was gone. He went down in the gallery to pray. He come back up and said, heaven's a courier. For the angel of God, servant I am, stood up to him and said, fear not, Paul. Is that right? The angel of the Lord. The whole book of Revelations was wrote by the witness of an angel. I, Jesus, have set my angel to testify these things right into the church. Is that right? John fell down to worship the angel. The angel said, do it not. That's not Joseph Smith, but he said, a true angel won't stand to be worshipped. No. No, sir. He said, worship God. And God still has angels. And the business of people not worship of angels, but angelic beings who are attributes of God set forth to minister to the church, to the people. Oh, my, how short we are of the real apostolic church today. We people who claim to be there, who claim to skip the blessing of the rims of the cup of blessing, how short we come. How we bubble in on top of the studs and know not what the bottom is. That's true. Now, friends, when I stand back here, I'm responsible not to the audience, but to God. That's right. And my words must be, I know there's not many millions of people that listen and watch every word you say, so I must be with all my heart that the truth of God has got to be. And I say today that we never stop the church. That's right. The church ought to get down. My. We're reading, it's like reading and writing arithmetic. Notice, now, this angel came, he was Gabriel. Now, God sends minor angels, that's right, perhaps the one comes here. Some people, or as they puff their mind up with angels and things, and they've sent David Dean and things like that, that's just the counterfeit. If a man has seen an angel of God, and that God is commissioned, or that angel commissioned from God, and this is sent from God, he will bear a record back down through the line. But it's the truth. You do that? But if it doesn't, it isn't the truth. That's one thing you can depend on. By this fruit you shall know that. That's the truth. Now, notice this. That this angel was Gabriel. Now, these minor angels come, but when you see or hear Gabriel coming, you get ready for something major that's going to happen. Gabriel was the one who announced the first coming of Jesus Christ. Is that right?
Yes.
And we're told in the Bible that Gabriel will announce the second coming. He'll sound the trumpet of God. Is that right? The coming of the Lord. The angel of God, Gabriel, who stands at God's right hand. Now, this great Gabriel come down here with the priest swinging his incense chair, burning it while the people were out praying. He was standing at the altar, and he looked over on the altar, side of the altar, and there stood the great archangel, his pastor priest. And he told him all about his life and things and what he was going to do. He said, after days of your ministry here, go home. Go live with your wife, and she's going to bear a child, and you'll call his name John. Why, look, that priest out there, how can these things be? She's old. See, there's righteous people walking in all the light of the Lord. That's the kind of a home that God can get into. Now, if you're serving all kinds of parties and beer and everything in your house, God will never visit you there. That's right. But if you've got a home that's cleaned up and living for God and swearing a Bible open and a few tears stains on it, God can visit you. That's right. Because you've opened up a channel that He can come to. And that's where it was. Now, when God had answered the prayer of Zechariah and Elizabeth, they like to scare you to death, of course. He didn't think that it could happen. But He said, I'm Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and my word shall be fulfilled in their season. And then he came back out, and the people, he was sick and dumb. And he was going to be dumb until the day the baby was born. And then out comes Zechariah and his chief priests and the people. They seen, he had seen a vision or something. So he went home, and Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 6 months, and she was to be a mother. Then watch just down in Nazareth, the meanest city in the country, worse than Chicago probably. Then, for your daddy Jeffersonville, where I come from. Then the first thing you know, was that a little person one day engaged to a man about 45 years old, a widow with about four children. While she was coming home in the old rental kite, probably is on a Monday, she was packing her wash water on top of her head, making a jar as they do it, walking on, and all at once before it brightened the big light. She frightened the little virgin. She looked, and there was a Gabriel standing by her side. Said, "Hail Mary," or "Stop." Said, "Blessed art thou among women." Said, told her how that her cousin Elizabeth had conceived in her old age and was going to bear a child, and said if she was going to have a child, knowing no man. Now look at the difference between Zechariah, that minister, who had studied the scriptures over and over and over and over and over and over again, had plenty of examples. That was Sarah and Hannah and so forth back in the Old Testament. Plenty of examples. He doubted it to be so. But this little girl didn't doubt. She said, "Behold, a handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." What a difference. Now, sometimes you can callous yourself reading the Bible, and just by reading a newspaper and having about the same kind of faith as you had in one, then you callous yourself. When you read God's word, believe it just like it says it is there, and take God at his word. Now, as soon as she read this, or she seen this before her, and the angel of the Lord said, "You're going to have a baby," look what she had to believe. Well, she had to believe something that had never happened. Zechariah didn't have to believe. Plenty times did it happen through the scripture. He has plenty of examples. But Mary had to believe something that was total and possible, and it never happened before. But yet she didn't stagger at it. She just said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me." She took God at his word. And today, right here now, while hundreds of people around the world have been tingled in these great campaigns and this latter revival that's sweeping the world, right today, right at this minute, thousands and scores of people in meetings here in the United States are being tingled right now by the power of God. Plenty of examples, every day, every night, and yet we sit and wonder, "God, why don't you do this and why don't you do that?" It's God at his word. Mary said, "Behold, I am the Lord." She started to rejoice and she was happy. God had promised it. She knows she's going to have a baby. I believe I spoke to them about it last night. She didn't wait till she got blind. She didn't wait till she was positive. She didn't wait till any visible sign. She just believed what the angel said was the truth. There you are. The trouble is we question God. And if we question God, we can't believe God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things you don't. He takes you a failure. Amen. I begin to be a little religious right now. Take God at his word. She began to rejoice and praise God just as soon as she heard. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Is that right? Faith cometh by hearing. As soon as you hear the word of God, it says you can be set free. Believe it. Rejoice with it. God will show the evidence after you've accepted it. That first you accept it. Christ died for sinners. I believe that I accept it. I start rejoicing. God's word righteous is mine. I believe he is back for my healing. I believe that I accept it. God's word healing for me. See? Just as soon as I believe, he can't help me until I believe. I've got to believe and confess it first, and then God's under obligation to his word. And if he's almighty God, he can do all things. And if he cannot do all things, he's not almighty God. That is. All right. Notice what kind of a boy ought this to be. What kind of a person? God keeping his word. God promised to do anything, God will do it. When the children of Israel were led out of Egypt, God promised to take care of them as they journeyed through the wilderness. God said He would take care of them, and He did do it. No matter where the path led, any enemy got in God's path, He'd give away. I can see them come up to the Red Sea. God had His map drawn out where He's going to take them. They will move out to the Red Sea, no way at all across it. There was Pharaoh's army. The mountains on one side. Pharaoh's army here. The Red Sea in front of us. Moses lifted up his hand. Psalm 72 says, God looked down. He seen that calf laying to the bottom of the sea. There was His children right there and meeting the promise. Taking God at His word. God looked down through that pillar of fire and with angered eyes. And when He did the sea, He got scared and moved back like that and made a dry path in Israel walk through on dry ground. Take God at His word. When they crossed the Red Sea, them uncircumcised, those people pretending to be like the make-believer today, trying to do so, perish. Then as they speak to God, when they see the opposite side perish, Miriam got in the spirit, grabbed up a tambourine and went out on the bank, dancing. I'm shouting here. Dancing, beating a tambourine. And the daughters of Israel follow her, beating tambourines and dancing in the spirit.
That an old-fashioned revival, I don't know nothing about it.
There is a dead one laying in the back of the ones with all the things that have followed him. When that old sickness that follows you, that old stomach trouble, oh my! When that old pipe, that old singing, them things that sets you back and helps you back when you walk through the blood of Jesus Christ and God has cleansed your soul, there will be another dancing party take place. Rejoice, there is a heavenly leap up in your heart. There was the leader Moses, got so excited. Yeah. He threw his hands up in the air and sung a song in the spirit. Sounds like can't be divine, doesn't it? Yes, sir. Now, they've come away from all their crops. They've come away from everything they had. A little basket of heated bread on top of their head, they packed out with eating. No bread. Nothing to eat. God has promised. Alright. They went to bed that night. They woke up the next morning and the ground lay full of manna. God supplying everything they had need of. There was manna laying all over the ground. They went out and picked it up. And when they began to eat it, it tastes like honey. Oh my. Did you ever eat some of it? Some of the manna, what a beautiful sight. Now he said, don't pick up enough today on Saturday, just Saturday along the last of the Sabbath. He said, pick up just enough today to eat today, tomorrow get some new. The trouble it is, the people today, they're trying to depend on the experience they had about 20 years ago. You know what happened to that manna? It got wiggle tails in it overnight. And that's what's the matter with a lot of our Pentecostal experiences. We're relying on something that happened way back under and gets wiggle tails in it, gets failed. What about today? This is today. Today is the time. Alright. Now, I notice on that wonderful, it tastes like honey in the rock. David said, how sweet it was. There's something about honey that God likes. Notice, David being a shepherd, the shepherd used to pair a spit bag on their side. And in the spit bag, they put honey. And when their sheep would get sick, they'd take some of this honey and they would rub it on a rock. And the sick sheep would go over, go to licking on this rock, and while licking the honey off, he got the limestone off the rock, and the limestone healed the sick sheep. What a beautiful time today. Listen, friends, I've got a whole spit bag full of honey here, and I'm going to put it on the rock Christ Jesus, and you six feet start digging now, and you sure as well. This is pretty lame. Listen, Calvary! Not from some man's hands or some superstition, but all for Calvary! Not all for Baptist Church, Methodist Church, Presbyterian, Pentecost, but all for Calvary! The Rock of Ages! Lick off of that! And they got well. And there was a time that six sheep ought to go to licking is today. Notice. God said, now I want you to do this. Go out and get some great omens full of it and put it back to carry to the holy place for all the generations. That's the follow answer. When they come in, every man, they come into the priesthood. That was a subject to the priesthood to go in and get a bite of the original manna. That, back in the holy place, didn't receive deterioration. It kept its full value. And every priest, after being ordained a priest, to come to the burial, then everyone could take a bite of the original manna. That fell on the first day that manna fell. That's when God called them to go get an omer's bowl of the first. What a beautiful type of the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, as God led the church natural to the wilderness, now God's leading his church spiritual. And our manna, our life sustaining resource comes by the Holy Spirit. And as soon as the apostles had crossed out all the fear and doubt and gathered in the upper room, God gave them the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When it fell down, that was our manna coming from God out of heaven. Like a rushing mighty wind, filled all the room where they were sitting. Cloven tongues set upon my fire. Out of the building they went into the streets and began to preach and testify. God working miracles, is that right?
Yes.
Our manna. Now, did God lay some of that back? Peter said in Acts 2:38, he said, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, for you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is in you and your children, and to them that follow, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Then the day of God still calling every man or woman that comes to the mountain, he always blood drawn, coming in your saints, and becomes a priest or a child, a born child of God in the kingdom of God, has a right to the ritual baptism of the Holy Ghost, not a little form, but a whole soul form, on the same power that fell on the day of Pentecost. I'm not excited. Oh, I am. Let me tell you something, brother. What the church needs today, it's not a new mayor of the city, a new Democrat, a new Republican party. It needs an old-fashioned God-sent Holy Ghost revival. And the Bible Holy Ghost sent in the church. That's what it needs. Marvelous. Yes, sir. When they were thirsty, they spoke the rock. They drank from the will up on the rock. When they were needy, God supplied need. When the Christ was ready to come to the earth, God made arrangements. Now, look at little Mary. Here she takes off up into the wilderness, up into the mountains to see Elizabeth, her cousin. Jesus and John were second cousins. Mary and Elizabeth were first cousins. And they went up into the mountain she did to enjoy the fellowship of her cousins. That's what we need to do today. The saddest thing in the world is the Pharisee who takes everything and he gives nothing out.
Yeah.
If we come to a meeting, God fills our soul with glory. We ought to tell 50 people a day, everywhere.
Yeah.
Every day, another 50, another 50.
Yeah.
Get out.
Yeah.
That keeps the sister cleaned out.
Yeah.
All right. Notice, then up into the mountains they went. And I can see her as she begins to approach. I see the woman run out. She's sitting there, dramatized just a little. I can see her sitting there, a knitting, you know, or crocheting, or what the women were doing in them days. She seen Mary coming. She threw down her crocheting and her knitting. Up, she went real quick, grabbed her up in her arms, fell her arms around her, kissed her, said, "Oh, Mary, I'm so happy to see you." Love one for the other.
Amen.
That's all gone about now. Are you not the truth? All gone. What a thing, you don't even know your neighbor's dead until you read the paper. Isn't that right? I remember when we used to be able to borrow money and everything from the farm, the other farmer. Now you got to do it. You have to have some security. It's a shame. Love. That's what the world's dying for today is love.
Amen.
They don't need to be so off about senior teaching. Some fellow, maybe it would be two of us in here agree upon the same thing, but we can't agree this if the love of God shed abroad in our heart for the Holy Ghost. That love one for another. Jesus said, "This will all men know that you're my disciples when you have love one for the other." Now, you're not long while I was down in Florida, I just want to pass you. Mr. Bosworth, many of you know him, old Daddy Bosworth, F.F. Bosworth, held great meetings here years ago, some of you old brothers and dads remember him in Chicago. And when we were down there, just when he first came into my meeting with Evan, I went out there with a little kid holding a meeting. He had, he said he was just about 400, so when I had a meeting, that night a sepsis come up. I think that's what you call it. One of these women, you know, the highest of signs. And so, Brother Bosworth said, "Brother Branham, this duchess that owns this all this property out here wants to see you." I said, "Well, I can't now." And so when we passed through the tent that night, back in the little prayer room, here she was standing there. Oh, brother, underdressed and overpainted, you know. She's dressing here, ring painted out, look like a servant of the devil, you know, the saddle set right to your neck, lying right down. And there she said that she had a pair of glasses out. She held, I'm not making fun of the woman, but not enough clothes on to want a good musket shotgun. And there she stood out there with these glasses on a stick like this, you know, holding out like that. She said, "Are you Dr. Branham?" I said, "No, ma'am." She said, I said, "I'm Brother Branham." She said, "Well, I'm so calm to meet you." Well, I didn't know what the woman was talking about. I reached up, got a hold of that big old hat, back hand there, there's about 40 rings on the ceiling. I said, "Get it down here, go over here." I said, "Oh, I was going. What was it? 6 foot of dirt, I got her." That's right. Oh, that's the way it is today. How can you set it anymore?
Yeah.
When people just bathe their souls in all kinds of corruption and things. Birds of feathers flock together. You know some of the most beautiful outside birds there is are scavengers. That's right. Once you don't notice the outside, it's the inside that counts. That's right. All right. There, Mary ran out and met, Mary went to meet Elizabeth, and she hugged her, and she said, "Oh, man, I'm so happy to know that you're to have the child." She said, "Yes, I'm to have the baby." That spirit said, "You know, the Lord appeared to me also." But she had a blessing to explain. She said, "The Lord has appeared to me and told me that I was going to have a baby, knowing no man. And I was always in Jesus." And little John, as far as we know, had never received life. Rinsa said she was scared. He was 6 months with her then, his baby, with the baby in. No life. That's subnormal. That's altogether subnormal, about 2 or 3 months. And here was 6 months in life. And just as soon as Mary spoke the name Jesus, little John received life and began leaping his mother's womb for joy. It's the first time the name of Jesus Christ spoke to him all the way. But why is he a dead baby? What does it do to a born again church? What does it do to a sick person? That means Jesus brought a dead baby to life. And the Bible says that John received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or received the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb, and was born of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. There you are. Received joy and began leaping and jumping, and the Holy Ghost came upon his mother, and she prophesied. Oh, my. All about short of the kingdom of God. Yes, sir. Man. Mary returns back after staying with her many days. Look at little old John when he was born. What manner of child could this be? Well, I guess we'll have to send him off to the seminary, cemetery, whatever you want, dispose the dead place. A seminary preacher puts him in the mind of incubator chicken. A little incubator chicken turned out mechanically, and a little fellow gets jerked for a man and ain't got any soldiers. That's just exactly like an incubator preacher. He's got reading, writing, arithmetic, knows how to stand so proper, and bow his head, holler, holler, like a dying cat, and knows more about God than a hot car goes by the end of the night. That's right. You know what? I'm not saying, man, but it's the truth. That's right. Oh, dear, boy, don't even know what J.D. sees. I don't even know Christ is full of heart. How do you see the baptism of the Holy Spirit? How do you? We don't go drink beans and coffee. That don't make any difference to me. It's fine. Christ in the forgiveness of sin. Look at this little fellow, 9 years old, took out into the wilderness, not to some seminary to have some embalming word pumped into him. No, sir. He went out into the wilderness. There he lived with God until he was 30 years old. You know the verse of Jesus was running short of time, so it won't take time to rehearse that. You know it. But at 30 years old, what kind of preacher ought this to be? Here he comes out of the wilderness. Now his car turned around and back to some cheap old coat on, eating fried chicken and biscuits every day for dinner. So, sir, hallelujah! He comes out of the wilderness, an old period, had his trousers on, his cheeks and his belt wrapped around him like that, but he preached repentance. I can see Harry come up here all living with his brother Philip Quiet. I hear some of the elders come out and say, don't preach on very divorce today now. There's Harry sitting there, old John full of the Holy Ghost. Could you imagine holding back? Walked right straight up in his face and said, it's not awful when you're there. That's right. God gives the God. Why, I say today, what the Baptist church needs some more John like John the Baptist. Who are compromised but will preach through unsearchable riches of Christ. Brother, he didn't have no education. Never though he had a day of schooling. He never had no degree of any kind, no bachelor's degree or whatever you want to call it, D.D.D. or what you want to call it. You know what D.D. stands for? Dead dog. You don't know nothing to that. But he called him, what do you mean? What to do? God sent us some old bachelors like that. Exactly right. This is not possible for you to have her. True. Some thought of the day I was talking about some lady reporting a story about some lady up playing the piano, and this is your own business, that's up to you. See? But the lady, she had on so much makeup, that woman had enough paint on to paint a barn. Almost. And this man said, Brother Brand, this is my wife, that she's a saint. I said, Brother, don't hurt your feelings. She looks like a hank. Don't look like no son to me. You know what a hank is down in the South? That's a spook. All right. Let me tell you. Listen. The only woman in the Bible that ever painted her face finished a man with yet failing God better than the dog. So if you can't be cheap, but you're going to be so good, stop the Holy Ghost, you say, how do this dog keep that what God calls this dog who's wanting to be? All right, let me tell you what we need today is preachers will take the gloves off and stand in the pulpit and claim the full gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you, the Holy Ghost. Get the people you have to take in religious way, compromise religious way. That's just exactly the way the Luther is done, that's the way the Methodist is done, that's the way the Baptist is done, and that's the way the Pentecost is doing. Eagle like me as it is. Let me tell you something. It's the main thing I'm responsible before God. That's right. I mean, I believe that to be the solemn truth of God. Yes. The only thing you have to do is get that heart right. Now, we all live here in this Middle Eastern state. We got an oak tree out here. Every year, all through the winter, the old tree passes leaves, just the same. Spring of the year, there's the old leaf on the tree. You just go pick them off. Just let the new life come up, the old leaf goes off. When a man's really born again, his heart's born a man, the old life drops away, the new life comes in and takes it away. Just let him get right with God, then you can notice by the fruit you shall know. And let me tell you, my friend, I better shut up right here. That's right. I remember in my life story, the first little date that I had to go out, I had a little old girl out there, she was like your first girlfriend. Oh, she had eyes like a dove and a neck like a swan and teeth like a pearl. I thought she was the prettiest thing I ever seen. When we went out, we got toast and some sandwich. I'd come out to give some sandwich to my little girl, and she was eating the sandwich, and we drank the coke, and I'd go run the bottle back in. When I come back out, that's just the days when women begin to lose their grace, you know, and so here she was smoking a cigarette. I looked at her. I always had my opinion of a woman who smoked a cigarette, and I still have today. It's the lowest thing she ever done. Don't let your face get red. Don't get more hot when you're guilty. All right. Well, let me tell you something. If God thinks, if he thinks about the word of the angel, God witnesses me here with the statue and the platform, you'll have a hard time getting the gate under. I'll tell you when you come up before him. First, quit! Stop! Let aside these things! The hour of judgment is at hand! And if the first experience had to go in down into the upper room and tarry until she received a baptism of the Holy Ghost and come out standing like a drunk woman, you will never get to heaven anything cheaper than that. That's right. When a man, listen to me, I'm telling you the truth, get God down in here, he'll take care of the rest of it. Now, just look around. You don't have to say, well, I got it. The fruit's yours not. Well, that's just don't say that. Just go ahead and get it where you're at. All right. Now, look, then I see John, when he came out there and began to preach my just repentance of heart and began to preach, laying the axe at the root of the tree and every tree that bring you forth my church fruit, sure God cast into the sea. And then notice, or into the fire, rather, then long came Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway out of the water, and the voice of God spoke to this, and my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased, into the world, and he went to the tempted of the devil. Every man and woman who sees your baptized with the Holy Ghost are meter of the devil sent in from every side. If he didn't, then you better go back. That every time when you get healed, here comes the symptoms, and you're not around and again. If it didn't, be careful. See, faith always does except what God has done. Then his ministry got great and away he went. Out into the, then come to our text quickly now. Then we see Lazarus went away from the home, and as soon as Jesus left the home, sickness set in, sorrow set in. And listen, Christian, when Jesus leaves your home, sickness and trouble will set right in behind you. When he leaves your home, get ready for trouble. Paul's just on his road right there. You welcome him in your house. Let him be the unseen guest. Sit down at the table. Never eat without thanking him for it. I see many people call themselves Christians and never return thanks. This is the illiterate as a hog under an apple tree. A hog can sit on an apple tree and that apple can beat him on the head all day long. He'll eat till he can't crush no more, honey, but he'll never look up and see where they're coming from. That's right. That's exactly it. These people just so unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, and breaking thoughts, and you should be caught, fierce, and despised as the Lord God is good. Turning your head to high and mighty, loving the place more than loving of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power of our comfort, turn away. That's what the Spirit says in Timothy. Is that right? Here we are living into the day, and Pentecost is not the only people going out. That's true. Oh, my. What a sad sight it is. What we need today, brother, is a revival. Learn the breaking down, breaking up. Down to the Father's house again. What? I see Jesus now go away from the home. There's a substation. Now this is history. We told him yes, he was just at his room. I don't know. That's not the Bible. That's just history, right? He had hemorrhages. Well, Jesus went away from the home that Martha's there, and all of them left the synagogue to follow Jesus. They sent for Jesus to come pray for Lazarus. Then he done it and walked on all the way. Now, if that was in you, you said to your pastor, he couldn't have come. You said, Bobby, you're a hypocrite. I'll never go back to the Philadelphia church again. I'll never go back to Lord. He didn't come. But if Mary would have thought that, Martha, what a day it would have been. Now, he never asked me to say that. I just said that. That's the answer. You've got to have faith in your pastor as a man of God.
Amen.
Isn't he not? Is somebody in there?
Yeah.
That's right. Don't stop the nourishment. Yeah. That's right. Go on. If he is a man of God, he does believe and do and act and preach what he should. Take it out. But somebody else is. They will do it.
Right.
Now, then you've got to have confidence. This is the house of judgment, the house of God, where God comes down and passes his judgment. Your pastor is supposed to be a righteous man. The congregation is supposed to be with him. 100% is supposed to be just 100% together. And in there, if you're not, then Satan's got a way to get in. You got a loophole somewhere. So have everything cleared out. Then when they sent it in for Jesus, he's sitting there yet, and just went on. Never come out and said a word about it. You had a vision from the Father. I'll think that up there tonight. You had a vision from the Father that Lazarus was going to die, and yet follow his vision. Of course he did. He went on. After a while, they said, he said, my friend Lazarus sleepeth. One of the disciples, he said, well, he's asleep. He's doing very well, and he's recovering. He's getting better. Then you let him know in their own language. He said, dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I wasn't there. But I know him. He knew where he was going. God already told him. He followed what the Father said. No one man told him what God said. He knows just what to do. I hear someone say, hey, that holy Lord was around your preaching divine healing. Oh, he's sure he's got to speak for that news. That's too much of a job for him. Can you slip away? Now we see about that. All right. Then he said, I go with you. Now the 30 days passed. Grievous things that come into our Lazarus, touching Bobby's body, touching our spirit in the grave. All hope was gone. The second day passed, still dark. Third day passed, the corruption set in his body. The fourth day had done gone. Then, the first thing you know, somebody come to little closet, and there he's sitting in the home crying. The breadwinner was gone, all his blessings, and the hope was gone. They give up their church. Now the men, as they had their confidence in, seemingly had betrayed them. All hope was gone. Their brother was dead. They turned out of church. This man was teaching divine healing, and the pastor life, he was gone. All hope, everything was gone. About that time, Jesus came along. That should have been when he came. Just in the darkness of that. It was the darkest of hours when Jesus came on. I was laying down in the hospital. The doctor walked in, looked at me. He said, my boy, you have 3 minutes more to live. Your heart's beating 17 times in a minute. Darkest hour. Then Jesus come along. Yes. To see how it's tickled down in Indianapolis, laying right there on the street. Church where his back lives, and the Democrats who made a big rally all out of it went down into the basement. Cut! Standing on the coal pile and under these mother's pictures, that is praised the darkest hour he ever seen. Go! Go! Pass out! Then Jesus come along. Yeah. John, when the old brother told me I had a short time to live, Jesus come along. Always the darkest of hours, things come along. But always there just at the time and the right time. Jesus came along. Now the old Father should be very dilatory about things, about the kingdom of God and so forth, but I'm not encouraged. As soon as she heard Jesus come, here she went, so hard as she could go. I'm just another debtor going. He goes out there and they say that Holy Lord is coming back. She just brushed him aside. She wanted to get to Jesus. name of Elijah. And Elijah blessed him and told him, you go to have a baby at a certain day, at a certain time. And that baby was born when his past came to Mary. And she brought the baby. The little baby must have got a sunstroke or something. He said, my head is out of the field with his father about 11 o'clock today. He sent a servant in, put the baby on the mother's lap, and the baby lay there for a little time and died. Look at that Edomite woman. How faithful. She tucked the baby right up to the little chamber where Elijah had been sleeping. She made him a place there where he could sleep when he come by. What a good place to take him, up to the prophet's bed where the prophet slept. She laid him down on the bed. She went out to his servant. She said, settle an ass out and go farther and don't stop.
Oh, God.
Listen, I think this. Servant stole the men to Mount Carmel to where that prophet sat. Her husband said, if you need a new moon or Sabbath, you want me there? She said, everything's all right. Let me go. I got determination. Praise our God. Hebrews 12, don't get worried about it. All right. She started off. She said, don't you fight up with God now. God is you as far as you can go. When she got close to Mount Carmel, she knew one thing, that God had given her that baby. And the closest representative on the earth, she knew that was in my thing as prophet. She didn't know why God took the baby, but she knew she could get in contact with that prophet because God was in the prophet. If I can get to that prophet, I'll find out why my baby's dead. He was the one who told me he would come, and I know that God's prophet. And if I can only get to him, I may have to draw hard, I may have to draw a long way. But if I can get to the prophet, he can tell me why this baby's gone. So we listen to the prophet. God don't always tell his prophets everything's going on. So Elijah walked out to the door, and Gehazi was with him, and he said, there's some red Shunammites. He said, you look weary. Something wrong. He said, God sent it to me. I don't know what's the matter. So he said, when you see her coming, she got up close. She said, is all well with me? Is all well with my husband? Is all well with the baby? Listen to this. All is well. God! Well, you know, they got that room up here to preach right now. Let me tell you something. Baby of Christ. Her husband wringing his hands and walking the floor and her heart sank. All is well. Her faith was that she could get to the prophet. That's all what she needed to do. I found you, Elijah. You are God's representative. God is in his prophet. And I'll come here now. I'm satisfied that God will reveal it. All is well. Sure up fell down at his feet. Gehazi thought, yes, he's 14 people with him, Master. He's good for us. Then let alone that her heart's breaking. I don't know what it's all about. Then she began to reveal to him what had happened. Now what? He said, Gehazi, take my step. And you go forward, go to the baby. If somebody speaks to you, don't speak back. Somebody salutes you, don't salute them. Somebody says hello, don't say nothing to them. Go straight. That's what the matter is. When we got a message, we stop for social affairs, for dinners and parties and everything like that. And we'll sit and go and talk about this so and so. Oh, and we can't get the word. Our man has got God's message. Let's go forward. All right. Let's take my staff. All right, just touch that staff. Elijah knew that anything he touched was blessed. Why do we lay hands on the sick? Why do we all need the elders to lay hands on? Elijah knew what he touched was blessed. I think that's where Paul got taken a handkerchief from his body.
Right.
See? Paul knew that whatever he touched was blessed. If the people want to believe it, they say that it gets the same blessing.
Right.
Just the same as he prayed for him, laid hands on whatever it was.
Right.
And Elijah knew that that staff would be blessed. He said, Gehazi, put my staff in your hand, hold it before you, and go forward now and don't check for nothing. Anybody speaks to you, don't speak. You got a commission now. Go touch the staff. That was all right. The handkerchief was all right. But that Shunammite woman, she He didn't know whether the dog was in the staff or not, but he knows God was in the prophet. He said, as the Lord with me now, he said, as the Lord liveth and your soul liveth, I'm not with you. Oh, there you are.
Yeah, that's right.
I want to say, right here. Right for your side. You got me on your hands now. Until we know all about this. He said, come on, let's go. And the guy, he's the one ahead. So he grabbed up his lines and started off with her. Here he goes. The woman with the prophet. Her heart's desire. Going on down. Right? He said, I don't know. He ain't told me nothing about it. I can't tell you. I'll go down there. Here comes the ace of that. Said, did you lay the snare on him? Yes. Was any sight? No lies. He's still asleep. Still dead. Gone. See, the woman's faith wasn't in that, it was in the prophet. She knows that, well, she didn't believe that God was with the staff, they'd done the same thing. But she knew God was in his prophet. So, Dad, here's my Elijah. They're all the neighbors together at the door, and they were weeping and screaming and mourning and carrying on like that. Old Elijah walked into a bunch like that. Walked in, pulled the door together, shut the door, there they go to the cart. Many, many hours. Every day it's probably a radio late evening. Elijah walks up and down the room. Oh, my. Hallelujah. Walking up down the room. Walked over. He knew God was in him. He laid his body on the baby. Put his lips against his lips, his nose against his nose, his forehead against his forehead. He held his body there. Not prayer, but his body. He lay there, as you are himself, his flesh is getting warm. God walked in. Oh, my. Up and down the floor, to and fro. And howling outside and screaming and crying all right to walk. Walk back again. Somebody's body is going to the baby seems to have a passion. Pick it up. It's all that you and I have. There you are. Now, go down. Think about it. God says that it's your